Welcome to the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. It's January 14, 2013, and this is episode 356. Following on from last week's podcast, in which I showed you my top 10 selection from my nature work in 2012, this week we're going to take a look at my favourite non-nature photos. This is a mix of street photography, traditional Japan work, and general snapshots. Again, it was a difficult task to whittle these down to just 10, but having gone through the exercise, I thought I'd share the results with you today. This episode is brought to you by Squarespace, the fast and easy way to create a high-quality website, blog, or online portfolio. For a free trial and 10% off your first purchase on new accounts, go to squarespace.com and use the offer code MBP1. Note too that Squarespace recently launched a developer platform for complete code control. It just keeps getting better. There'll be more on Squarespace later, but for now let's jump in and look at my 2012 general top 10. I talked a bit about the statistics, how many photos I chose from, etc. last week, so I won't go into that again. But I did want to mention that the process was as time-consuming as selecting from my nature work. I guess this is proof of how my photography is becoming more wide-ranging now that this is all that I do. When I had the old day job, I had to pick and choose my shoots much more strictly, because I had very little time to dedicate to photography. And so when I could go out, I generally chose to shoot what I love the most, which is nature. Since leaving my job in 2010 to concentrate on photography full-time, I have been able to do more varied work between my nature shoots. I've shot things like the Tsukiji Fish Market that I visited with Scott Jarvie and the Google Plus first birthday photo walk. I don't think I could have done these things while in my old job. I was also able to travel the world with Pixels to Pigment, and then I spent most of the time between the workshops shooting cityscapes and street photography, as well as meeting family. I was also able to shoot some traditional Japan shots during a private tour that I did in December, and although I obviously gave my customer the best angles, it was still possible to get some images of my own that I quite liked, and a few of them have made it in here too. I haven't ordered this top 10 as I did with my natured work, so in no particular order, let's take a look. And first up is a shot from inside the Tsukiji Fish Market. I'd been meaning to visit for around 20 years, and when Scott Jarvie visited in April, I figured it was finally time to get down there and see the place for myself. If you listened to episode 331, you'll know that I had a great time and came away with a bunch of photos that I was really quite happy with, like this one. It maybe isn't the most artistic shot from the series, but I just love the various boxes and the people going about their work, and for the first time in a long time, even the Japanese writing that seems so natural to me looked fresh and almost Blade Runner-esque. I always knew that I was wasting a huge opportunity living in Japan and not making photographs like this, but time was getting the better of me. I'm really pleased to be able to do this sort of work now, though. In September, when I visited the US to continue my Pixels to Pigment workshops tour, I spent the first 5 days in Fairfield, Ohio, for a long overdue visit to see my uncle and aunt and two of my three cousins that live there. On a guided tour of my cousin Tammy's lovely house, I was amazed to find the beautiful light in this next photo, entering the attic space from a window behind a lovely old bed with lots of other well-placed stuff that Tammy collects. Having exposed for the highlights behind the bed, the rest of the room fell dark or into silhouette. For this softly lit and maybe even a little spooky feel. I knew as soon as I saw the shot that I had one of my favourites for the year, and it remained that way. This was shot, by the way, at ISO 2000, and thanks to the 1DX, it's totally noiseless, even in the shadows. You gotta love the technology that we have now. I spoke about this next shot a few months ago as well, but one of the things that I really wanted to do while in New York was shoot the Manhattan skyline. I arranged to meet a couple of friends, Scott Katzenoff and Ron Cuniff, and had a great time doing long exposures of the city. I have a second shot from this location that I really like too, of the Manhattan Bridge through the bottom of the Brooklyn Bridge. But I chose this iconic skyline for the top 10 for that very reason. It's iconic. It's a skyline that I would never have thought that I'd get a chance to see, never mind photograph in this way. Another iconic subject that I was really happy to have shot this year was the Golden Gate Bridge. The low cloud and mist makes the Golden Gate a very photogenic bridge, along with how they light it, of course. September in San Francisco was a lot colder than I'd imagined, but the memory of standing there on the side of a cliff with my friend Jack Andrus will stay with me. I think that this is a big part of the experience when shooting this sort of photograph that I don't get so much from my nature work. There are times when I recall who I was with, especially when the photos are from workshops and tours, but I find that I get so wrapped up in the subject with my nature work that I focus much more on that subject, even in my recollection of the shoot. With the sort of work that we're looking at today, though, the company that I was with at the time I made the photograph is almost important to me as the photos themselves. As with any editing process, though, none of that is included in the image, so the viewer, of course, doesn't see that. This makes it very important to remove that emotion from the set selection process, or you could end up with lesser images in your set based on the emotional attachment that you have with the image. It's important to select images based on their own merit, not how they make us personally feel, and that's often a difficult thing to do. Next up are a few photos from the Google Plus first birthday photo walk in Tokyo. This is Katsuya Tanaka at the gate of the Zojoji Temple, one of the places that we visited. Again, this photo is as much about who I was with on the walk, but I really like this shot with the contrast between the dark weathered metal and the red-coloured gates, and then Katsuya, of course, doing what we do. I don't know about you, but I have hundreds of photos of photographers photographing, and it's nice when the photo actually appeals to me as a photo, like this one does. As I mentioned earlier, this episode is brought to you by Squarespace, the fast and easy way to create a high-quality website, blog, or online portfolio. Squarespace gives you and your website users the best possible mobile experience. Squarespace have developed new templates with mobile-ready response designs, which means that your site automatically restructures to look great on any brand of smartphone, tablet, or computer. When you add an image to your site, seven different versions are created so that the correct size loads for the device, and your site looks professionally designed no matter how it's viewed. It has beautiful templates with 100% drag-and-drop functionality for all customization tools. There is a new page builder tool called the Layout Engine that enables you to customize pages in seconds by adding blocks of content such as photos, videos, text, social media content, and immediately preview layout as you go. This makes it even easier for anyone to build a site. Squarespace gives you better social media integration. You can automatically import, sync, and publish to and from social media with a few clicks, dynamically refreshing your site content and raising awareness in your social circles. For example, you can automatically pull photos from Instagram into your website, instantly sync pages and galleries to Facebook, auto-publish new blog entries on Twitter. Social media buttons to connect with all of these services that you love through Facebook, Twitter, Google+, Instagram, Foursquare, Dropbox, LinkedIn, Pinterest, StumbleUpon, and more. Squarespace is exceptionally well designed. They have an award-winning design team and user experience experts. They created a whole new set of sophisticated design templates. They reflect modern web style while using highly intuitive navigation. Each template also has hundreds of customizable options available to change grid layout, colors, over 300 fonts, and more. Squarespace integrates all of your website needs, domains, design, development, hosting, and customer support. It's a unified service, making it faster and easier than ever before to create a high-quality website, blog, or online portfolio. For a free trial, go to squarespace.com and sign up for a free account. No credit cards needed, just try it out and start building your website today. Then, if you decide to purchase it, use the offer code MBP1 and you'll get 10% off your first purchase on new accounts. And that includes monthly or annual plans. So obviously it's better to go for the annual plan because you're gonna make more, save more with that 10% for the entire year. And that's squarespace.com and use the offer code MBP1. Everything you need to create an exceptional website's there. Back to that Google+ first birthday photo walk, though. Here's a shot through the main temple building at Zolgorje with a family sitting in silhouette listening to the priest's sermon. Here, of course, I was attracted to this scene by the beautiful green through the doorway and also reflected in the highly polished temple floor. I then shot a number of frames trying to get the composition right, with the people's heads in a good position as well. And I think that this, out of the series that I shot, this ended up being my favourite. On the way out from the Zolgorje Temple, this young monk came along to ring the 5 o'clock bell. So a group of us quickly scurried around trying to get a good angle. When I first shot this, my favourite was a view from the front where you could see the monk's face. But as the year went by and I reviewed my photos a few times, I found myself gravitating to the back view, as I think that this shows the swinging action and intent of the monk much more dynamically. Also note that this is not another shot of Katsia from the Red Gate shot earlier. These next three shots are images that I really like from that private tour in December that I mentioned. I spent 12 days with a gentleman and his two sons travelling around Kyoto, Takayama, and then Nagano for 3 days with the snow monkeys. We had a great time and I ended up with a handful of images that I quite like too. Starting with this one of the Buddha statue at Kiyomizu Temple in Kyoto. Here I plugged up the blacks a little bit in Lightroom and increased the saturation of the gold colour a little to make the statue pop more against the dark background. And I'm quite happy with how this turned out. The danger here, again though, is that this is a recent photo and they're always more likely to end up in a selection than older ones. I'm hoping that this and the next two shots remain favourites as time distances me from the experience of the shoot. This next shot is a dragon gargoyle on the corner of the roof over the incense burning pot in front of the Nanzenji Temple in Kyoto. We were too late for the autumn colour this year, but a few places still had some golden leaves on the trees. And here I thought they kind of looked like fire, aptly surrounding the dragon. I ran this through Nick Software's Color Effects Pro 4 to enhance that fiery feel and really bring out the detail of the dragon a little more too. Finally here is a photo from the Fushimi Inari Shrine, which it's the place where there are hundreds of these vermilion torii gates forming tunnels that I'm sure you've seen from photos already. I got a few shots of the gate tunnels, of course, but I like this shot of the writing on the gates from this, just for this to really add to my top 10. From the front, the gates are unmarked, but from the back, you can see the names of the person or company that paid for each gate to be erected. The gate in the centre of this shot is actually gifted by Kitamura Motors, so it's probably a car dealership, which might not be quite as traditional as you might have hoped, but still I liked the overall feel of the shot, with the clean pillar here surrounded by the slightly more worn pillars. On a technical note, had I left the exposure to the camera for this shot, the main centre pillar would have been severely overexposed because the darker areas either side would fool the meter into brightening the entire scene up too much. Even for this shot, I find using manual exposure much easier and just exposing to the right, meaning that the data on my histogram is almost but not quite touching the right side or the right shoulder of the graph. If you keep that under control, you rarely have to worry about anything else, and this shot is straight out of the camera. So that's it. That's my 2012 top 10 non-nature photos. As I look back through the year for both these and for my nature shots top 10 that we looked at last week, I see just how productive 2012 was for me. And I feel very fortunate to have been able to have visited the places that I did, meet the people that I met, and to be able to make a living doing what I love. Regardless of the sort of images that you shot, if you put together a top 10 of your own, please do share a link in the comments of the blog post at mbp.ac/356 or on Google+. I saw some beautiful work posted by listeners following last week's top 10, and I look forward to seeing more of your work following this episode too. Thanks very much for listening today, and remember that you can find me on Google+ and Twitter, and links to everything that I'm up to are on the top page at martinbaileyphotography.com, so do drop by and take a look. I'll be back next week with another episode, but in the meantime, you take care and have a great week, whatever you're doing. Bye-bye.